Sweet is the song.
Sweet is the song.
I'm singing today.
I'm singing today.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Trouble and sorrow.
Trouble and sorrow.
Have vanished away.
Have vanished away.
I have been.
I have been redeemed.
Now is onward I go.
Now is onward I go.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
All the way homeward.
All the way homeward.
My praises shall flow.
My praises shall flow.
I have been
redeemed. Redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
By love divine.
By love divine.
Glory, glory.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
All to him.
I now resign.
I have been.
I have been redeemed. Redeemed.
Precious indeed.
Precious indeed.
Is my Savior to me.
Is my Savior to me.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Happy in glory.
Happy in glory.
Someday I shall be.
Someday I shall be.
I have been
redeemed, redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
By love divine.
By love divine.
Glory, glory.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
All to him.
I now resign.
I now resign.
I have been.
I have been.
Man, it's good to be redeemed, isn't it? Amen. All right. I think we all know who Brother Gibson is by now. And so if you don't by now, I don't know what we can do to make it any clearer. So Brother Gibson, why don't you come ahead? We've both been coughing all day. I told him if we had to, we'd tag team it. After a while, we might not ever get done if we did that. But
thank you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Well, a joy be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. Amen. Good to see a good crowd out on a Monday night. How would you rather be here than in the hospital? Good, good. How many'd rather be here than in jail? Amen. How many ought to be in jail? I just thought I'd check. I did that at our church one Sunday morning, and one man back there raised his hand. He was visiting that morning. He just got out of jail the day before. He was visiting church. Ended up getting saved, so that was a blessing. So I'm kind of cautious about doing that anymore. But I looked around this crowd, and I thought, well, it looked like several probably wouldn't. Anyway, no. We just praise the Lord. Joy to be here. Anna gave me a, hey, let me set bag of Twizzlers. I need to get them away from you. You're eyeing them too much. And Anna gave me a bag of Twizzlers tonight. These are some of my favorite, I told her. I really love them things. And I remember one time there was a man in front of me sitting in church. He opened some of them up, started eating it. And so I leaned up and I said, you know, Jesus likes it when you share. And he looked back and he said, yeah, but you're not Jesus. I couldn't argue with that one, you know. But I was thinking about that. These boys in front of me, they said, what are these? So those are mine. All of them? And I thought they were going to ask me to share, and I was about to tell them, you're not Jesus. You know, you're just a... Anyway, good to be in the Lord's house tonight. If no other reason, I'm glad I'm here that I get to tell people I've been in Knobnoster, Missouri. Not many people can say that, you know. And Earl Hughes one time, I remember he had an old Geo he drove around, had like 500,000 miles on it, and I rode with him in the vehicle, and I said, Brother Earl, I said, I doubt many people can say they've ridden in your car with you. He said, I doubt many people would want to. You know? And I'm sure it's not that way about Knobnoster, but it was that way about his car, maybe. I'm glad you're here tonight. Matthew chapter number 5 this evening. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 38. Matthew chapter 5. And beginning in verse number 38. Enjoy the music tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. I've been redeemed. That's a good song, isn't it? And all of them that we sang, the congregational songs and all the specials, just been a real blessing. I appreciate that. Appreciate the message behind the specials as well. And, you know, it gets me sometimes. These people will get up and sing a song, and every once in a while, you know, the pastor will say or someone will say, hey, could you sing that again? And, you know, we get up and we pour our hearts out as preachers, and nobody ever jumps up and says, hey, preach that again. And I said that to our church, and one man said if it was only 4 minutes long, they might, you know. So I guess that's something to consider, you know. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to begin our reading at verse number 38. And Brother Merrick, thank you again for the invitation to be here, and looking forward to what God has in the days to come. Appreciate each of you come out tonight. I know some of you come from work and tired, and over half our ministry has been bivocational, so we understand what it is to work all day and then come to church as well. And so we appreciate those of you that are that committed and will do that and be in the Lord's house. And we trust that God will give you something tonight to be a help. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. The Bible says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in this place tonight. Thank you, dear God, for those that have come out. Good Monday night crowd. Father, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. Thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing together as a congregation and those that we've heard sung as specials. And dear God, we thank you for the message within the songs. Thank you, dear God, for the day that you spoke to our heart. Thank you for the day you saved my soul and made a difference in my heart, made a difference in my life, made a difference in my home. Father, we pray if there's any here tonight that don't know you as Savior, this would be the night they come to know you. Maybe some been saved and drifted from you. Sure would be a good night to come back home. Father, meet with us and stir all of our hearts tonight. Do that work only you can. And I promise we'll give you the praise for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Can be seated. 1 week ago tonight, we honored the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. 353 Japanese planes that came in two waves launched from six aircraft carriers had bombed unexpectedly the ships that lay in the harbor there. All the ships were damaged. Four of them were sunk. They've raised three. The USS Arizona still sits underwater. We've had the privilege of being there at the memorial and standing over the USS Arizona and the 1,100 people that died aboard that ship when it was hit. It's an amazing thing. I like the fact now they brought in the USS Missouri and parked it in the harbor too. That's the ship where the Japanese signed the unconditional surrender. The day after Pearl Harbor attack, President Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war on Japan. Congress approved with just one dissenting vote. The only negative vote came from Jeanette Rankin from Montana. She was the first female that was elected to Congress. 3 days later, the Japanese allies, Germany and Italy, declared war on the U.S., and again, Congress responded, and we entered World War II. 14 years ago on September 11th, we can all remember, I believe, on that day. I remember I was in the church office and got a phone call and was told that American Airlines Flight 11 had hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And I think all of us either were watching it or got a call and immediately went and found a television set to watch what was going on. And as we watched that tower, the smoke bellowing out of it and kind of stood in shock, we watched as United Airlines Flight 175 then hit the South Tower. In less than 2 hours, both 110-story complexes collapsed to the ground. We had learned of a third flight, American Airlines Flight 175, Flight 77, that had crashed into the Pentagon. And then the fourth flight, United Airlines Flight 93, that was brought down in Pennsylvania near Shanksville by those that were aboard. About 3,000 lives were claimed. One of the deadliest incidents in American history for our firefighters and our law enforcement personnel. In the aftermath of that attack and firefighters and law enforcement personnel rushing to rescues, 343 firefighters died and 72 law enforcement personnel. We kind of stood in amazement as our nation was attacked, and the mixed emotions that began to come. When Pearl Harbor was hit, there was only one dissenting vote, and that woman at 84 years of age was still protesting the war at Vietnam. When it came to Congress in 2001, when our country was again attacked, this time there was 23 dissenting votes when it came to going to war. I began to listen to the television and the news and people around about. It was amazing the different responses you begin to get from different people. Some begin to say, you know, that we need to go. We need to find who did it, and we need to just totally annihilate them. And there's something inside of you that says, yeah, that's right. That's what we need to do. Others begin to quote Scripture, and many would misquote Scripture, and others would say, wait a minute, the Bible says, turn the other cheek. Some would even come out and say, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And they would quote Scriptures, and you sit there and you think, well, this one's quoting Scripture, and that one's quoting Scripture, and as a Christian, I definitely want to be obedient to Scripture, but some of that just didn't seem to fit right. And so I began to search the Scriptures and begin to find that when it comes to, it's good to keep the Scripture in its proper context. I begin, as I examine Scripture, find that there's three different attacks that can be made. And then there's three different responses we have accordingly. There's an attack that can be made upon me as a Christian. I mean, just individually, someone attacking me. And that's really what Christ is dealing with in this portion of Scripture. He said, you've heard it's been said an eye for an eye. And that was the magistrate law. And he didn't do away with that. He didn't deny the magistrate law. He didn't refute it. But what's happened is these individuals were taking matters into their own hands. He said, you've heard this, but I say unto you, you individually, if someone were to smite you on the cheek, turn the other. If someone were to sue you to take away your coat, give your cloak off. If someone were to compel you to go a mile. He's talking about when somebody does something to us as an individual Christian. So when someone attacks me as a Christian, I'm supposed to do my best to go the second mile with that individual. To do my best to turn the other cheek. When they attacked Jesus, he opened not his mouth when they attacked him personally. The Bible said in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. So as much as I can, I'm supposed to, if someone attacks me verbally or acute, whatever it might be, if someone's attacked me, I'm supposed to try to endure and take all that I can without defending myself or retaliating. I'm going to be honest with you. There's some days there's more lies within me than other days. He says, much lies within you, live peace be with all men. It doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. It doesn't mean there is a limit. You turn the other cheek, you go the second mile. There is a limit to how much you take, but you try to take as much as you can when it attacks you individually. I had someone time that was attacking, and I just come out and said, the Bible said, as much lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And I said, dear brother, I'm just going to be honest. There's not a whole lot of lies within me right now today. So this is probably a good point to stop right now. Or I'm going to lay my hands on you, speak in tongues in Jesus' name. But I'm to strive when someone does something to me to turn the other cheek. I'm to strive to go the extra mile. And there's a second attack can be made, and that's when someone attacks your companions, your friends, your family, those that you love. When someone attacks those that you love, you don't have to go the second mile with them. You have the right to defend, but you don't have the right to retaliate. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3, if a thief be found breaking up, and he be smitten, that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. But if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. What he's saying, if someone breaks in, I have the right to defend my family. I have the right to protect my family. And if I defend them and I kill somebody breaking in the house, there's no blood to be shed for me. But if the son be risen. In other words, I found someone broken in my house and I go after them and I retaliate. Then he said blood is to be shed because the judicial system should take over from there. He should be made to repay. Are you following this? So I have the right to defend if somebody attacks those that I love, but not the right to retaliate. By that I mean this. What's your name? Tim? Come on up here, Tim. Let's say Tim's a friend of mine. Hi, Tim. How you doing? You want to buy me lunch?
Sure.
Then we'll be friends. All right. Here we go. He's such a good friend, he'd buy me lunch. All right. Here's Tim. He's my friend. If you come up to me and say things or do things, I'm to strive to take as much as I can and not say a word. If I'm standing there and you come up to Tim and start saying things, he's to strive to stand there and not say anything, but I don't have to. You remember when they were taking advantage of the poor people at the temple and Jesus showed up? I could just see him over there. That disciple said, what are you doing, Jesus? Making a whip. Where are you going, church? Yeah. When they attacked him, he took as much. But when he was there and they're taking advantage of the poor people, that's another story. Taking advantage of people he loved. Now he makes a whip and he's turning tables over and he's chasing them out without sin. Somebody said, I don't understand how he as one man would go in there and everybody would just flee. Well, a couple things. Number one, he's God. Right. Number two, those tables are made of stone and they weigh about 2,000 pounds apiece. If Tim were to go out there and grab a hold of the side of my town and country van and lift it up and flip it over on its side and look at me and say, I think you need to get down the road, I'm out of here. I'm not going to fight with a man that rolled my van over. I might write him a nasty letter later, but I'm not fighting with him. All right? A lot of times in the restaurants, we'll come, the waitress will sometimes say, you want this on one check or two? And I'll say, put it on one. And then I'll say, and then when we leave, find somebody to give this to and make sure it's somebody we can whoop. I said, that lady you gave it to last time with a walker, she about beat us to death with that thing. I did that one time to the waitress, said, find somebody you think we should whoop. And she looked around and says, looks like you're out of luck. You know? You think she got a tip? Someone says something about you take as much as you can. Hey, but listen, somebody comes and says something about your preacher. You don't have to take that. In fact, I think somewhere I read the Bible says, mark them which cause division. I try to think, how do you mark somebody? Best thing I come up with is a black eye. What happened to you? I just had to mark him. I thought you Christians were pacifists. Yeah, we're going to pass a fist right through your face. You talk about my preacher again. You know? Being a Christian doesn't mean you can't be. Sometimes I feel bad about this, but sometimes I look at our Christian schools and I just wish a fight would break out. I feel bad, I said it already. It's like our young boys don't know how to fight anymore. You get to Christian school, they're going, ah, stop it. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness, learn to make a fist. So I have the right to defend him, but if I just heard that somebody said something, I don't have the right to go and retaliate. You follow? Okay, you can be seated, Tim. Thank you. So someone can attack me as a Christian, and I'm supposed to strive to take as much as I can, but there is a limit. But if someone attacks my companion, I was with a bunch of deacons one time. They tried to start in on me, and I sat there just looking at them, and then they tried to start in on the family and things, and things that just was nonsense. It went in and just trying to get me riled. So finally, I stood up. I said, "Fellas, look, you're drawing for straws here, and if this conversation doesn't stop, I'm gonna quit being a preacher, and I'm gonna become a daddy, and I'm gonna become a husband, and we're going out back in Jesus' name." You always feel better saying in Jesus' name for whatever reason. I don't know. So attack on my companions. I have the right to defend, but not to retaliate. There's a third attack, and that's when we have an attack on the country. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how they laid for wait in them in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, Amalek set an ambush for them and attacked them. And now God is saying, I remember what Amalek did, how they ambushed you, how they attacked you. He said, now rise and go utterly destroy all that they have. When it comes to an attack on our country, we not only have the right to defend our country, but we have the right to retaliate. So it's best to keep all the scripture in its proper context. Back to our text here. Jesus is dealing with when someone does something to you personally. He didn't say if they attack your loved ones, you turn the other cheek. He didn't say if they attack your country, you turn the other cheek. But he said if you personally are under attack. If someone does something to you, you don't take matters in your own hands. Someone does something to you, you try to take as much as you can. We have often referred to this as second mile Christianity. Matter of fact, you've been in church any length of time, you've heard a message on being a second mile Christian. And every time I've read the text, every time I've heard messages on being a second mile Christian, inside my heart I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to be a second mile Christian. And you they'll stand and they'll say, you know, let's go the second mile for our whole families. Let's go the second mile for our Lord. Let's go the second mile for our church. Let's be here for Sunday school. Let's be here Sunday morning. Let's be here Sunday night. Let's be here Wednesday night. Let's be here every night that we have special meetings. And let's get involved in the ministries that we have here. And let's go the second mile for Jesus. And every time I heard those messages, something inside me said, that's what I want. I want to be a second mile Christian. I want to go the second mile for my Lord, and I want to go the second mile for my wife, and I want to go the second mile for my church, and I want to go the second mile for my Lord. I want to be a second mile Christian. That's what I want in my life. A lot of times throughout life, I've kind of felt good that I feel like there was areas where I really felt like I was being a second mile Christian. Then I got to reading this one day, and I noticed something about these verses. I began to think, if someone wanted to put my eye out, I mean, if someone come up to me with a stick and said, Brother Gibson, I've got this stick in my hand, and I just want to poke your eye out. It would dawn on me that this individual didn't like me. Would I be right in that? If someone wanted to knock a tooth out of my head, first time I moved to Arkansas, they sent me to the dentist before I could be a resident. They had to pull 3 teeth out before they let me be a resident of Arkansas. If someone wanted to knock a tooth out of my mouth, someone would come and say, Brother Gibson, I just want to knock a tooth out of your mouth. I do have a tooth that was knocked that broke. I got 2 brothers that are retired police officers, and when they were on duty and still active, there were several times I'd go over and I'd ride with them, and one time I rode with one of my brothers and a fight broke out and I broke my tooth. Now I broke it on a piece of candy, but a fight did break out and I did break my tooth. It was on a piece of candy, but it just sounds better if I leave that part out. And I can't help it if you assume it happened in the fight. I mean, it sounds better to leave that piece of candy out of the thing. But if someone were to say, I'd like to knock a tooth out of your mouth, they're probably not going to ask me to sign their Bible. If someone were to smite my right cheek, Now, think, most of us are right-handed, so if you went to hit somebody, you'd hit them on the left cheek. So to smite my right cheek means somebody just wants to backhand me. If somebody comes and says, Brother God, you don't know how I want to backhand you. Sounds like my mother talking when I was little. I just want to backhand you. I would think, this guy hates me.
Am I picking up the right vibes? Am I the only one who sees it this way? I mean, would you think that if somebody wanted to backhand you, would you think maybe they're not like Brother Tim, they're not going to buy your lunch? If someone were to take me to court and sue me in order to have my coat, you realize it's going to cost you more in court fees than what my coat is worth? You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about somebody that hates you to the point they're willing to go to the extremes to totally ruin you. They're willing to pay whatever it takes to see that you have nothing. If somebody want to take me to court to sue me for my coat, if somebody wanted to, go to extremes just to try to destroy me and see that I have nothing in life, that's probably an enemy. If someone compels you to go a mile, and Jesus is referring here to the fact that though these were Jews and though they were in their own homeland, they were in their land, it's under Roman rule at this time. And any Roman soldier at any time could call for a Jew, and he'd have to run to his side, and he'd take his backpack off, he'd place it upon that Jewish individual, that Israelite, and he was compelled by law. By law, he had to carry that backpack for a mile. And the only reason they did that was to humiliate the Jewish people. They wanted to degrade him, humiliate him. It would be like if our country was taken over and we that were citizens under those that took over, if they could do the same, put their backpack on us and we were compelled to, just a way of humbling and humiliating and degrading us. If somebody was out to humiliate me and degrade me, that's not somebody that likes me a whole lot. Are you following? And it dawned on me. The second mile is what Jesus asked me to do for people that hate me. He's telling me how to treat my enemies. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The second mile is what I do for those that hate me. The second mile is what I do for my enemies and those that curse me and those that hate me and those that want to despitefully use me. This is our response to people that hate us. How far should I be willing to go for those that love me? Could I make a confession tonight? For years, I have been content doing for God, who loves me, what He has asked me to do for people that hate me. Can I make another confession? I've often been guilty of doing less for God than what He asked me to do for people that hate Him. We stand and preach to God's people, go the second mile, go the second mile, go the second mile. And sometimes we'd be happy if they go the first mile and we're trying to get them to go the second mile and we're trying to get God's people to do for God what God asked us to do for people that hate us. So how far should I be willing to go for those that love me? I mean, hey, we got a lot of children here today. Children, your parents love you. Now, if you're supposed to go the second mile for people that hate you, how far should you be willing to go for your parents who love you? I mean, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. That's not asking too much, is it? Or cleaning your room. I said, or cleaning your room. Or cleaning your room. Or making your bed. My mom would always say, did you make your bed? I said, Mom, it'd be easier to buy a new one. And sometimes when we get older in the teenage years, and sometimes the rebellion begins to stir within our heart, and we won't do the second mile for our parents who sacrifice for us and love us and pray for us and have our best interests in mind. We won't even do for them what God asks us to do for people that want to destroy us. What about when it comes to your pastor? You got a man of God that loves you. Amen. Prays for you, preaches the truth. In a day when it's not real popular to preach the truth. But we understand we're responsible to preach the truth. And we understand also there still is a group of people that do want to hear the truth. And you've got a pastor and a pastor's wife that loves you and prays for you and there for you. And now wait a minute. Many times church members are guilty of not even doing for their pastor what God asks you to do for people that hate you. Wow, I'd go the second mile for my pastor. Well, that's good. That's what you do for your enemy. There should be no limit to how far we're willing to go for those that love us. Amen? Huh? What about your partner, your spouse? What about your husband, your wife? I think about this often, and I say this a lot when I'm preaching. I say it to remind myself. I say it to remind others as well. My wife, that dear lady, she's got one life to live on this earth. One life to live on this earth. And she chose to spend it with me. One life. No do-overs. One life to live on this earth. And she chose to spend it with me. My desire is when we get old, I know some of you are looking and say, Rick, you're already there. My kids got me a birthday card, says, Dad, you're not getting old. I said, oh, you open it up, says, you've been old for some time. That's what my kids got me. I called them kids one time. I had a lady rebuke me after service. She said, they're not kids. Kids are goats. They're children. I said, have you met my kids? Don't judge till you meet them, okay? Just back off. She chose to spend her one life on this earth with me. When we get old and gray-headed and we're both in wheelchairs, and mine's going to have a motor on it so I can still catch her. I'll run into her wheelchair, and we'll both fall down, and I push that little button that says, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Then I'll see I'm laying down next to her and I'll say, never mind, I think I'll just stay right here for a little while. End of our life, I want her to be able to say, that was a good choice. Christ didn't just go the second mile for you and me. He gave his all. Because he loves us. I'm to love my wife even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. A lot of times couples will say, well, I'm just tired. I'm always going the second mile. Well, second mile, that's what you do for your enemies. You're talking about your wife. You're talking about your husband. How far should I be willing to go for my precious Lord? Lord, I felt so good thinking I was a second mile Christian. Boy, you must really be proud. You must be proud. You must really be pleased. I'm going to go that second mile for you. Then it dawned on me one day reading this that if I was to stand before him and say, Lord, I've always gone that second mile, I could almost see tears running down his face as he'd say, that's what I ask you to do for your enemies. I'm your best friend. Yeah, how many other things we put before him, before serving him?
He doesn't want the second mile from you. He wants it all. He deserves to have it all. I'm kind of tired of today's Christianity where there's so many people that just stand and all they talk about is God loves you. And He does. But when I say that, they'll say things like, it doesn't matter how you look, it doesn't matter this, God loves you. And they'll emphasize the fact God loves you. And by the way, He does love me no matter how I look. He also loves me no matter how I live. But that's not an excuse to live any way I want to live. And it's not an excuse to look any way I want to look. God's love for you and I is not on trial tonight. He has proved that He loved us. He's gone to the extreme to prove He loved us. His love for me is not on trial tonight. It's my love for Him that's on trial tonight. He does love me no matter what. But I don't love Him no matter what. No, I don't want to be a second mile Christian when it comes to my walk with Christ. I've often failed in my attitude toward those that hate me. I've often been content doing for those who love me what God asked me to do for those that hate me. And I've often been guilty of doing less for those that love me than what God asked me to do for my enemies. The sad thing is, if I were to start the message tonight and to say, how many feel you're a second mile Christian? We usually think second mile is going that extra mile. And most of us in this room would say, well, I really don't feel I've gone that second mile yet. I could give a little more. And by that confession, we're saying, Lord, we're doing less for You who loves us than You ask us to do for those that want to destroy us. Second mile? No, sir. No limit. No limit.